NYYST. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Yep. Swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York. Yankee Sports Talk, record rain or shine. Grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 328 of the NYYST podcast. We're live on NYY News TV. I'm your host, Christian, and this week joined with SGR.
What up?
Unfortunately, Chris has got some sick kids again, man, so he's not
Gotta take better care of kids, huh?
No, man.
Building up a strong immune system, at least, but let's get well soon.
These damn kids haven't had immune systems for 3 years, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
It's really wild, Ryan, and when you become a parent, you'll know this, dude. Your kid will get a runny nose for anything, bro. It's like it's terrible.
I know, man.
It's like, oh shit, dude. Like the kid just had a runny nose and like then it doesn't, and then it goes, and then my daughter goes and plays with my nephew, and then he's got a runny nose. Now she's got a runny nose, and it's just like
that's contagion. You know?
I don't like runny noses, dude. I'd rather, you know, deal with poopy diapers than runny noses. I don't know why. It's just runny noses skeeved me out for some reason.
We might need to go to science on that and get a poll going.
Well, we're recording here. It's Monday night. Yanks are off. They're going to welcome Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout in the Yankee Stadium starting on Tuesday. They just wrapped up a four-game set with the Minnesota Twins. They split. They took the final two games where they really should have taken three out of four from the Twins. I was out at Yankee Stadium on Friday night, so I want to get a little personal here to open up the show. If you don't care about that, come back in 5 minutes. I really don't care, to be honest with you. But I don't know how many people know this. I've alluded to it. If you follow me on Twitter, I did say something about it on the show. After it happened. But that show never made it to NYY News TV because thank God it didn't, because it was probably the worst show we ever did, because it was the first show back after my father passed away. And that was the same night we thought that Aaron Judge was going to San Francisco. So you could tell the type of frame of mind that I was in. So it's been a rough few months here. Like I said, like I alluded to, my dad passed away in November, and you know, my cousin, who's been on the show a few times before, and we always allude to him. I'm going to talk about this because I want to. He did something really cool, man, and it just shows, who's supposed what life when, you know, things like this happen. He left a ticket for my dad. He left a ticket for my dad so we could go to one final game with him, right? And that game was Friday night, right? So I was kind of on the fence if I was going to, like, tweet anything about it, but I did. And everybody was, like, super cool. And they were like, that's such an awesome idea. And, you know, I was like, hope they win. Yeah, I was hearing from other fan bases, like, man, that's awesome. Like, not awesome that my dad died, but, like, the gesture.
Understand.
You know, I was like, I hope they win for you. You know, like, you know, you'll have one, you know, this could be like a one last memory type deal. And like, you know, and then somebody replied after the game and they're like, Clay Holmes desecrated, or what did he, some dumb shit. They were like, Clay Holmes desecrated the memory of your father. And I'm like,
people commented on your tweet about it and said that.
And I was like, and I'm thinking about it. I'm like, but he didn't though. Like, because I'm not going to compare. I mean, it's a personal tragedy to me, obviously, but like, I'm not going to compare my dad to 9/11, right? But it's almost the way I looked at Friday night was almost the way I looked at the 2001 World Series. Not every story is meant to have that fairy tale, that storybook ending where the team wins in the end, but you still had these moments that you'll always hold, that you always have and you always cherish forever, right? Like, even though I didn't, I don't know anybody personally that passed away in 9/11, dude. How far do we live from the towers, bro? We live that shit,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So to have games 3, 4, and 5, though, and especially the way the Yankees won, right? Even though they fell short, you know, to have that memory, you always look back on that fondly, right? And it's the same thing with Friday.
Definitely.
And you know, it's the same thing with Friday night, bro. Like, yeah, in the context of a baseball game, the way they lost really sucked. It did, but dude, I'm there to honor my dad, right? And Anthony Volpe hits his first major league home run, right? And on the very next pitch, Aaron Judge hits a home run. So these are memories that, like, I'm always going to have. And people always say, like, oh, and people are always like, oh, I'm done. I hate this team. Like, I hate the way
people,
the
what
team
people?
Is...
I don't know anybody that says I'm done.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that says that. I hate the way the team is run. But, like, those moments are what draw me. Those moments...
Same here, man.
...are what keep me coming back. You know, like I mentioned this on opening day, dude. That was this past opening day, obviously, was the first one I went through without my dad, right? So me and my daughter are wearing matching Aaron Judge shirts, and she wanted to go on my shoulders as he, because I said, Ava, daddy, Aaron Judge is coming up. And she goes, I want to go on daddy's head. And that means she wants me to put her on my shoulders, right? You can't tell me that something bigger wasn't at play there. Going in Aaron Judge, his first at-bat at Cavs as captain, hits a home run on opening day. You can't tell me that something bigger might have been at play on Friday night, even though maybe I'm the only one that was in a situation like that, that we saw that kid's first major league home run, and then Aaron Judge hits a home run on the next pitch, right? These are memories that we'll always have now, right? And this is why baseball is so important. This is why it's such an this is what I tweeted on opening day. How can you not be romantic about this game? I love the Giants, right? But like, football can never do this. Football can never bring out the type of emotions that baseball does.
Yeah, I think a lot of that too is how long the baseball season is, and you're so committed for so long, and it's so many games that you're watching and you're with this team. It feels like a longer amount of time that you're spending as a Yankee fan, which you are, rather than football.
I'm a passionate fan, bro, and there's one man to thank for that, and you know, it's my dad, and I miss him and I love him, and I carry on this fandom because this is what he gave me, man. You know, this is how him and I, you know, we bonded over this, right? So that's why, like, I can never leave this because of that, and because I want to have this with my own kids. So, like, you know, so Friday night was, it as much as it sucked that they lost, it was still one of the best experiences personally that I ever had as a Yankee fan at Yankee Stadium. That's why this fucking jabroni that looks like Emil Hirsch from Alpha Dog tweeting about Anthony Volpe shouldn't be smiling because he hit his first major league home run. Fuck you, dude. Like, you know that the Yankees lost when Aaron Judge hit 62. Do you know they lost that game? Yeah. I'm pretty sure Aaron Judge was happy at the end of the game there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure Anthony Volpe was upset the team lost, but this is a moment in time. This kid will never forget this. This kid could, you know, never play another major league game. Guess what? He's in the record books. He has a major league home run. Be happy about that.
Yeah, he should
be happy about that. And you mean to tell me that his teammates aren't happy for him? You think any of the other guys in that clubhouse were upset that he was smiling as much as that loss sucked, that he was smiling in the post game?
No, I mean, come on. And do you really think that he's putting himself before the team just by smiling? I think he's shown you enough that he already, as little time he's spent with this team, he knows how to handle himself, and he's putting the team definitely first over any accolades. We do have a super chat over here, Christian. Want to get to it? It's from Cam DJ Steels.
Okay.
He says, sup, guys. Don't you think, it might be a little sarcasm in this one, don't you think we got our Ohtani and IKF? Nah. What's up, guys? Much love to you guys and the rest of the NYY News TV family.
Thank you for the super chat. Yeah, I don't thanks, know. Cam, I don't know.
Yeah,
dude.
I don't know. Not looking likely. Oh, he did. He did throw that inning, a good solid inning.
I was so checked out of that game at that point. I got home so late on Thursday, right before game, and I was beat, dude. I had one of the worst headaches I ever had in my life, and I was like, I just want to sit down and relax and watch this game. And then before you blink,
I know I had the same exact thing.
Was it like 7-0 in the first inning?
It was 9. I think they put up a 9 spot in the first.
Whatever it was, but I know last week you weren't here, but Chris and I were talking about it that Johnny Brito should be the fifth starter. Especially over Herman and Schmidt. And I mean, Herman was fantastic on Saturday.
Herman looked good, dude.
And I'll be honest, dude. I don't blame Rocco Baldelli, dude. If I'm sitting there watching Herman throw 4 perfect innings with 8 strikeouts, I'm checking him for sticky stuff too.
Yeah, I'm checking him for the sticky stuff. I don't understand how that all played out. I feel like it wasn't really clear what was going on there. What did they conclude that it was just like a thicker rosin?
Yeah. I don't know, man. These umpires, I don't think he was up to anything, to be honest with you. This is what Herman is, though. Herman, when he's got his good stuff, he can pitch like that. He took a perfect game into the 8th inning in Boston a few years ago, so we know he can do it. You know, he's got that type of ability when he's on. I mean, when his stuff is working, man, he can get major league hitters out. The problem is he's wildly inconsistent. You know, that's Herman's problem. But he was really, I mean, the Yankees really needed a big start out of him on Saturday because you didn't want to go into Sunday, you know, possibly facing a sweep, right?
Yeah, because against Minnesota, of course.
I think that was the first time since like 1986 that the Twins haven't lost a series to the Yankees.
I mean, the fact that they couldn't win this series, though, just shows how awful they are against the Yankees. How do you win the first 2 games of the series and then end up losing the last 2? Come on.
Well, I mean, if you want to take positives out of the series, I mean, the starting pitching outside of Brito was really good in this series. Nestor went 7, gave up a couple of solo home runs. The Yankees lost because the first inning, they really couldn't do anything.
That's what I was about to say. You take away that first inning of the first game of this series, you know, they only allowed 2 more runs in that game after the first inning. They allowed 4 the next day, all right, and then 1 and a shutout. So, yeah, good pitching pretty much all across the board except for Brito.
it was tough on Friday night because you really wanted them to tack on because they just didn't. Stan hit that monster home run, and then they immediately gave the run right back. And you kind of figure you've watched enough baseball to know when moment, even though the Yankees were winning, that the momentum was swinging the other way.
And
the real frustrating thing about Friday night, just from a game perspective, is Aaron Boone got too cute.
Yes.
There's no reason on April 14th to throw your – if Clay Holmes is your closer, there's no reason on April 14th to throw your closer in the 8th inning. And I know what he said. He said 9-1-2, those are – but I don't care.
Right. Then he's not your closer at that point. He's more of a use the guy when you need to get the
If you're
the
desperate, it's September 20th, and you're desperate because you're behind – you know, you're trailing in the division by 2 games and you're desperate and you got to use your best guy in the 8th inning. Okay, I get it. But it's April 14th, man. Boone got too cute for his own good and it cost him and the Yankees lost the game.
Yeah, and I think even more than just the game, that's going to cost Holmes mentally, I think, a little bit. That's going to be tough to bounce back from.
Well, you know, Boone was going to throw him right back out there on
But how about Fred, man? Fred had this on the money that maybe Clay Holmes was gonna not be the, you know, that solidified closer for the Yankees this year. Good on Fred.
When I was watching the game on yesterday, Sunday, when Cole came out for the 9th inning and I saw Holmes in the bullpen, I really wanted to hit something.
Yeah, right. But luckily that didn't end up.
Because Boone said that if Correa had come up with a man on, he was going to Holmes. And I told Pete before came on here that if Holmes is facing Correa, the Yankees are probably losing that game.
Wouldn't be surprised if that is how that game ended.
Oh, the reason why we didn't see Clay Holmes yesterday is because Gerrit Cole shut it the fuck down. Okay. Gerrit Cole, 10 Ks, 9 innings, complete game, 2 hitter. I mean, he was fantastic yesterday. Short hair, pitch clock, Gerrit Cole is just, he's a beast, man.
Hasn't allowed a home run yet. It's wild. He allowed 33 last year. I can't really hear you right now. You're chopping up a little bit. You're chompy.
Let's not bring that up.
You're good. You're good. Uh-huh. I couldn't hear you. Oh, that part. Yeah, sorry. I'm a little jinxy.
Sorry. Jinxy here. Okay, you're like the black cat from the Fockers.
Okay. Go under the ladder. Okay. Bad luck. Step on a crack. Bad luck. Okay.
Oh, it looks like we were a year shy on the SMD tour because Gerrit Cole has come out firing. So far here in 2023, where, look, man, it's April 17th. Now that I mentioned the date, I want to wish my wife a happy anniversary, 7 years yesterday. Okay.
Nice. Happy anniversary.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Happy anniversary. Okay. Treat her to a nice steak dinner. Okay.
Dude made 4 starts. I don't want to sit here and start coming out and say he's going to be the runaway Cy Young candidate, blah, 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 and all these other things people are saying. But my God, dude, he just looks different.
There's a difference.
Something different about Gerrit Cole right now.
There's no questioning him at all this year. Not that you did it a lot last year, but it's just every pitch is so nice, sharp, dominant.
What we talked about, bro, and this is like the third time now that we've said this pitch clock is helping Gerrit Cole.
You had it, man. You said it. Now I've seen that narrative is being pushed out there now
today. So, I really saw it in me too places.
Today me too today, but you had that shit. I didn't even think of that when you brought it up after I think it was his first start, or maybe even before the season started. You were saying, what is this pitch clock going to do? Is this going to be helpful to him? And you got the pitch clock. You combine it with little Caden Cole sitting in the front row by the dugout, you got yourself a little recipe here of Cy Young.
Discount the haircuts.
Okay, yeah, we got the 2-for-1 deal, supercuts. Okay,
because this is what we've talked about this. The problem with Gerrit Cole is that, you know, when things start to go the other way, he walks around the mound. Throwing the friggin' ball in his glove. He's thinking, wiping his hair. Now he's just got to get back on the mound and pitch. And he's been dominant, man. He's been absolutely dominant so far through 4 starts. I mean, you obviously want to see it continue, but I just feel like this is a different guy. This is the guy. This is for so far through 4 starts. This is the guy that we've been waiting for since 2020, like the truly dominant top of the sport ace. I think he's finally arrived, man.
Yeah, it's looking that way. I mean, like you're saying, it is early, but there is a different feeling going out there. And he hit a number for strikeouts, and it was like a ridiculous amount of games compared to Guidry. Less amount.
He did it in like 13 years, and Cole did it in like 3 with double digit strikeout games. Franchise record. I think it was 23. Guidry pitched for what, like 12, 13 years, and Cole's been here since 2020. So
a lot longer.
I mean, we all know the type of stuff that Gerrit Cole has, man. It's just, I always felt this, dude. And I said this last week. I always felt this, especially last year. Like, I don't ever think Gerrit Cole gets beat. Gerrit Cole beats Gerrit Cole. And I think this year 100%. He doesn't have time to get in his own head, man. He's just back. Is Gerrit Cole going to get rocked at some point this year? Probably, because it's baseball and it happens.
Yeah.
But I think he's better. I think this pitch clock, man, I'm telling you, he's just more equipped to just get in a good rhythm there. And he gave Trevino a lot of credit for yesterday. That's why I don't see that changing, even though Higgy's kind of been better with the bat so far this year.
Yeah, no, I've liked their rapport together. Him and Trevino have looked very nice.
And to be honest with you, dude, I know I've seen a lot of people ripping Trevino for his offense. I don't care about his offense. That's not what he's here to do. I was going to call him Lou. Jose Trevino can hit 130. And as long as he's that guy behind the plate, it doesn't matter. The problem is, you know, you can carry that guy. The problem is that if you're going to play Hicks and Wash Donaldson, you know, then people amplify or highlight the lack of offensive production out of the catcher.
Right, because the positions or the players that are supposed to be making up for that defensive, you know, first type of guy in your lineup aren't coming through. So then it becomes glaring.
Oh, you know, you got Gerrit Cole, you got Nestor Cortez, who, you know, Chris said this in our group chat yesterday. Is it time to call, or Saturday, whenever, he's like, is it time to say he's a top 10 pitcher in the sport? I think that's a little high, but I think you got to give Nestor respect as like top 20, top 25 right now, starting pitchers.
I mean, the sample size is just, it's too big now. And I get it, though. The thing that's, there's two things, right, that are causing us to kind of wait for that shoe to drop. One is his history of, you know, getting DFA'd by the Orioles, getting DFA'd by a team like the Mariners.
And the Yankees.
And the Yankees, yeah, of course. But then it's also his stuff isn't electric. It's not 98. It's not popping out of the glove. And it's not, you know, that typical type of pitcher that we've seen dominate in baseball over the last decade or so. He's that outlier that is taking it back to the, you know, earlier days. I don't know. I was done when we made our predictions. Every time I watch him pitch now, I am expecting a dominant ace-like start from him.
And the Yankees definitely need it out of him right now because their rotation is very questionable right now. I'm not ready to throw Brito out right now. Even after that disaster of an outing, I'd like to see what he does, how he backs that up, how he rebounds from that. Somebody's got to get back, though, to get Clark Schmidt out of this rotation, honestly.
Yeah, his time is not holding up too much longer, I don't think. But yeah,
I can't watch Clark Schmidt in the rotation anymore. He's one of those guys where if there wasn't a pitch clock, you'd want to jump off of a fucking roof.
Definitely, especially like a hot summer day. Clark Schmidt
watching
on
Clark
the
Schmidt pitch.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week, man. Like, is just to go back to Friday. You know, we talked about this. Is Clay Holmes a long term solution as closer? And we saw him almost blow that game, the finale in Cleveland, which they barely hung on to. He blew the game Friday night. You know, you had no confidence should Boone have needed him yesterday. We mentioned this earlier, Clay Holmes versus Carlos Correa. What do you think is going to happen in that situation?
I see it. I see it playing out, and it's not good.
No, just on a side note here, Carlos Correa had a huge game on Friday night, and he said that the boos are like gasoline for his Ferrari, and then he went hitless to final two games.
Yeah, I mean,
it was the
last out of the series there.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Right now, I mean, the Yankees are still short in that bullpen, so I don't see them making a change right now. They need to get some guys back, namely Jonathan Loaisiga. Well, if Loaisiga is healthy, which is another big if, because he's not a guy that's he's never healthy, dude. He's always missing time. Then you can start thinking about, you know, would the Yankees make a change for the ninth inning? But to me, I think I still think that the guy is going to be Ron Marinaccio at some point this year.
Mariano Nacho.
It's a good pickup right there, Ryan.
Thanks, bro. Thanks, man.
Okay.
So you think that if that were to happen, if this plays out where Clay Holmes loses this job as the closer for the Yankees, that it's going to be Marinaccio and
I think
not
the Yankees,
Wandy Peralta.
I don't think it's going to be Wandy because I think Wandy's too valuable, being a guy that can come in at any time to get anybody out.
The extinguisher.
And I feel the same way about Loaisiga. Loaisiga is a guy that can come in the sixth, get two outs, and then pitch the seventh. Kind of the same thing with Michael King. You know, Marinaccio, he can go multiple innings, but I mean, he's more suited to be a guy to come in, give you a clean inning, and you know, pitch that ninth inning. Where a lot of these other guys the Yankees have, you want them to pitch multiple innings, and you want them to kind of come in and clean up a mess.
Yeah, especially a guy like Peralta. I wouldn't even really consider him as the closer for this team. He's very underappreciated, I want to say, by, you know,
absolutely
fans.
He is, dude. He's been nothing but nails since he's gotten here.
Awesome. And what, he was a part of that Talkman trade, wasn't he?
Yeah, they traded the Giants. Yeah, it was just straight up. Mikey Talks.
fucking take keep Judge away from the Giants. Take Rodon. Peralta's a stud. Giants, Rodon's stop got, making moves with the Yankees, dude.
Rodon's got to get his ass back over here. Okay?
Yeah, that's a story for a different day. We'll get there when we get there. But, yeah, I see Marinaccio being a guy that they consider. I also, though, I see them giving Loaiza another shot at it, another
it's
crack
possible.
At it.
I mean, he does have – I would say he probably has the best stuff of anybody in the bullpen. He's got dominant stuff when he's on top of his game.
Mm-hmm.
So if they gave it to him, would I be mad? No, I wouldn't be mad because I think he's got what it takes to close. It's just that his health is a factor, and you don't know day to day whether or not he's gonna be there. And unfortunately, to segue into other guys that are injured all the time is friggin' Giancarlo Stanton, man.
Again.
Unbelievable, bro. Like on of all friggin' things, I saw it happen. I saw him grab his friggin' leg.
Yeah, we were everybody, both like, nah, he's fine, he's fine.
No, yeah, you guys were like, oh, he's fine. He wasn't fine. I saw it. There's no reason for Hicks to come into the game at that point.
Right. That really sucks, man. I feel like I saw, I'm trying to find the stat that I saw that he has
40% of the game since
it was
2019.
All right. I didn't want to say that number because it's so ridiculous, but 40% since what year?
2019.
All right, that's not too far off. That's not too like long of a time period, but still.
Well, he's only been here since 2018. He was relatively healthy in 2018, and then 2019 all the injuries have started to pile up for him, and he's missed about 40-ish percent. It's not exactly 40.
Yeah, I think it was like 39%.
It's crazy, man, because this guy is so good.
So he was
so hot to start the season too, man. While you're missing some guys right now, you really need G's bat in the lineup. And he's just, of all things, bro, he thought the ball was gone. Everybody thought the ball was gone. How many times has Giancarlo Stanton hit a ball like that and it's not gone out? That's probably the first time since he's been a Yankee that he's hit a ball like that and didn't go out. And then he had to hustle to get to second, and then he pulls his hamstring.
Right. So, I mean, that's where he pulls it, right? Because he's doing like the home run trot, and then he's going from 0 to 10 speed. And his gears got all busted up.
It's just frustrating, man, because you know how good this guy is. And I'm not going to come on here with a hot take and be like, oh, you got to get rid of Stanton. I love G, man. When we did Fred, bro, we talked about this. I wish I had the papers in front of me. What did we say? 120?
120. He's like 120.
He's not even going to play that. He's going to miss at least 40 games with this. Guarantee you he's going to miss at least 40 games with this.
Yeah, it's 4 to 6 weeks minimum. That's 25 games right there at least.
Do the math. Let's say he takes the full 6 weeks because he's not coming back. He's not coming back on the short end of that. I'd be stunned. They play six games. You want to say they play six games a week conservatively. They might have one. That's 36 games right there.
And that's just – we're in April. Like, he's going to need his days off too, especially to ease his way back into it.
And that's if he's ready to come back after 6 weeks, which I said this jokingly, all-star break, but it's not really a joke. Would you be shocked if he doesn't come back until the all-star
break?
Absolutely
not. No, absolutely not. Especially, you know, with Bader coming back, they have someone that can, you know, fill the void. But yeah, what's bad about it too is that I feel like this was his best start as a Yankee, where he really got out
of the
gates.
It really feels that way.
Yeah, and he was doing a lot of good for this offense, and to see it fall out already like this, not good, Giancarlo. Not good.
I mean, the Yankees are stuck with him, right? I doubt he wants to go anywhere. And honestly, if he's healthy for October, I guess I'm okay with it.
Yeah, he doesn't miss October baseball. He doesn't miss in October.
It's just so frustrating, man, because it's just like you got to look at the likes of Willie Calhoun and Aaron Hicks, and when you could, you know, and Stan's pulling a muscle jogging to second base. It's so frustrating.
It is, because it happens a lot. It happens a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it happens every year. He had Achilles tendonitis last year, bicep tendonitis. He missed basically the whole season with that a couple years ago.
Right, yeah, the bicep thing.
It amazes me, bro.
He's weird. Weird guy. He's weird. I say he's weird. That's Boonies.
You know, I heard that. I heard people throwing that around the other day.
That's just what Boone says about him.
Boone should just be quiet.
Yeah, he's weird.
getting testy with the reporters on Friday night because they asked him why he didn't have Michael King, and he's like, "Well, Michael King threw two innings 2 days ago." And then he said he didn't know. And then he goes on to say, "Here, this is the Yankees in a nutshell, right here." Then he goes on to say that he didn't even know if he was going to have Michael King available for Saturday, right?
Right.
Then makes Michael King pitch the most innings that he's pitched all year on
Saturday.
Yeah, right.
I was going to say, didn't he end up tossing a couple innings at that?
He won like 2 2/3, yeah, I think.
That's another bright spot in this series was Michael King starting to show signs of positive life in there.
Yeah, Michael King is
hesitant with him.
For a couple weeks now, he's definitely trending in the right direction to be Michael King.
Yeah, he's trending upwards. Yeah.
I mean, it's the thing that really sucks about Stanton, dude, is because this team, if you look at the lineup, right, and okay, you got Volpe, right, and ever since, you know, it was last week and people wanted to call him a bust after 10 games. If you look at the average, it's still like, what, 170 something, but the at-bats have been better. He's picked up a couple of hits. He stole three bases on Saturday.
He's 191 right now.
Oh, he's 191.
Average.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go. He's a good almost series against the Angels.
Mendoza, I'm okay.
Al Volpe, man, is that it? Even if he doesn't hit, if he learns the strike zone and can draw walks, he's going to be such a weapon for this team.
I mean, look at how he's already shown that.
Getting 7 for 7 in stolen bases.
Yeah, and he steals second, and he'll take third from you too. He's a little thief.
Because with the new rules, with the bigger bases, and you can only throw over twice. Plus, I think he stole 50 bases in the minor leagues last year.
Yeah,
right?
Plus he's just really fast, so that helps.
He's a natural base stealer. Plus, now the rules are advantageous for base stealers. That's why, man, I like him in the leadoff spot right now. I really do.
You think about it logically. If he gets on base, he's getting on second base. So that is the guy you want leading off. And then if he's on second base, well, then Judge is going to probably get on first base. And then you have runners on
Judge
first and second with nobody out.
You're going to leave Judge and Rizzo alone in second and third. And
yeah,
then just
you
like,
keep
what
them
do you
together.
Excuse me. Then it's like, what do you do? LeMahieu batted fifth yesterday, but I'd honestly right now I put LeMahieu in a cleanup spot.
I liked your lineup. I like doing that way when if you don't have that next guy up to be a power guy to go up, but I don't know, maybe Donaldson could be that guy. But if not, then I like putting a contact guy in the four spot as kind of a reset for that next set of three hitters.
Because if you think that all your guys, the 1 2 3 guys, are doing their job, you want a guy that's going to go out there and you know, make contact in that.
Yeah.
You know, you trust LeMahieu to do that. Now, you don't want to make too much of it, but, you know, Gleyber Torres is kind of like really went down here in the last week or so.
Yeah, he's trying
to
get
downward. Really, he's slumping, you know, which is the... I know, again, dude, it's April 17th, so what do you want to make out of things? But this is what scares me about Gleyber Torres. He's so hot, and then he's so cold. That's just the nature of him. It's like, excuse me. It's like, where does he sit? Like, he always,
right.
is he ever gonna sit in the middle? You know, it's like these extremes with him. And it was the same thing kind of like last year. It was an all-star, then you couldn't find him for 3 months, and then the final month of the season, he really helped his team push their way to the finish line to win the division.
Yeah, he's 2 for his last 18.
And he hasn't looked good.
Yeah, only one hit since April 11th. He had that on Sunday. He had the one hit. His last hit before that was the 11th. So, yeah.
That's what we were talking about before that game in Baltimore.
I was reading that wrong. I wasn't reading that wrong. I'm good. It's that guy, right? We're good.
Like that game in Baltimore where I said that maybe Volpe should sit because he looked like he was pressing. But before that and even after that, you look at the at-bats and the results aren't there, but they're good at-bats. Like, you haven't even seen Gleyber Torres really have good at-bats recently.
No. So, yeah, maybe the day off today could be beneficial for him because he hasn't missed a game yet.
And then you got – excuse me, then – you know, then you got Franchi, which we talked about this last week. If he didn't get another hit all season long, he's kind of done more than what you could have ever expected out of him to this point. They're throwing Willie Calhoun out there. I mean, okay, You know, you're not going to get excited about Willie Calhoun. Maybe he might get hot for a week, but this is, he's a fringe major leaguer, you know.
Fringe.
You know, Aaron Hicks goes 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts yesterday.
Man, dude.
It's like, you know, it's like we're beating a dead horse here, man. It's like,
it is. Really, we've been doing this for years now.
It's like, when are the Yankees going to realize this guy can't play baseball anymore?
When his contract's up. Dude, how bad are his at-bats, though? With those, his helmet's halfway off. His head is facing the chamber, Judge Chambers.
O'Neill, I don't know if you were locked in, you were to the game yesterday, but O'Neill, did you see the part where O'Neill broke down his swing and like how his all out of whack?
Upset I missed that, man, because O'Neill does great breakdowns.
It was amazing.
He's
great at those. When the way O'Neill broke it down, it's no surprise that Hicks isn't hitting, dude. The way like he's flying open.
Yeah, I mean, if it's that apparent in the booth. But he's been very good at that, O'Neill. I'll give him a lot of credit there. He knows how to break down a swing.
He's a great.
Coney are actually like a great duo for me. I like David Cone a lot, but it's when those two are together that I think they bring out the best in the broadcast booth, because their knowledge and the way that they can.
They should just stuff Michael Kay in a locker.
I wish they did, because I mean that guy is, he's probably announcing a game right now somewhere. What's he doing tonight? Because he's been doing 2 games a day. He does
right,
the
yesterday
K Rod,
right?
And then the day, and then another, I think another one he did a double. And it's like, come on, man. Just stop making me listen. I don't want to listen to you anymore. And that K Rod thing is awful. They tried to copy the Manning brothers. That one I don't even really like that much either. But come on. You think I'm going to sit there and watch Michael Kay watch the game?
Okay. All right. Maybe Francesco, I'll watch him watch the game. Okay.
But I'm not going to sit there and watch big head Michael Kay after listening to him for 3 hours. Ugh.
Because my TV's always on. Yes. So I turned it on today and I couldn't find the remote for the cable box. So I sat there and begrudgingly watched his radio show for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, man. I used to like Kay. I liked him.
Looks like he's trying to rip off Garrett Cole's haircut. Look like he got a haircut today.
Oh man, dude. Should I cut my Cole? I got the old Cole look going.
I don't know, dude. Is it gonna affect the impersonation?
Nah, yeah. I might not be able to do it. Might have to call Caden, let him know that we gotta schedule an appointment. Supercuts. Amy.
Imagine Garrett Cole goes to Supercuts.
Yeah.
That would be.
Oh, wait. We got a super chat from our boy, Rahsaan Thompson.
What's up, Ron?
Super chat is for. Oh, he called me Garrett. This super chat is for Christian and Garrett. Oh, that's hilarious. He looks like 2019 Cole, SMD tour in full effect. I was just saying that. That's weird. On the same wavelength, bro. Thanks for the big time super chat. That was $10 super chat there.
That's raw for you, bro.
Yeah, so we appreciate it, raw. And yeah, I'm not cutting the hair. We're staying 29. Did Cole win the Cy Young in 2019? Was he on the
never
Yankees
won
already
one. No, oh, that was his last
oh
year
no he was the runner-up when he went 20-5 I think that year with
yeah, it was nasty.
Oh, and Verlander beat him. I think
it might have been Verlander year, right?
Mm-hmm. his battery mate or pitching mate, what the term for that would be.
His rotation mate?
Yeah, I guess you would say rotation mate. I couldn't cut off with one. No, it's better than battery mate.
So, you know, the Yankees had to make a roster move after...
Rotary mate?
Rotary? Uh-huh. Rotary club?
Uh-huh. All right, continue. Go ahead.
The Yankees had to make a roster move after Stanton went on the IL. So they called up Oswald Peraza. Notice how he wasn't in the lineup yesterday.
No. So what do you think they're going to do with him?
They're going to sit him tomorrow, and then they're going to send him back down on Wednesday. Because Boone came out, I think, at some point on Sunday. Boone said that the plan right now, they could have activated Wash Donaldson on Saturday or Sunday, but they want him to they wanted to take the advantage of the extra on the day off on Monday, give him a little extra time, rehab game Tuesday, and then if he's fine, activated on Wednesday.
I don't know, man. This isn't that's not the best way to develop a player that you're was, you know, the starting shortstop going into spring training. It was his job to lose.
It was his. You're absolutely right. It was his job to lose.
Now he's going to be a bench player, 29th man type guy, the doubleheader guy.
What's so frustrating about Oswald Peraza is that the Yankees are going to ruin him, just like they've done
to
several other prospects that they've had come through here recently, because the Yankees called this kid up last year, pure gaslighting. That's all this was. They called him up to gaslight the fan base because the fans got sick and tired of IKF and all the other nonsense that was going on with the team struggling. So they're like, oh, we're going to call up one of our top prospects. Never had a plan to play the kid. He got some starts here. Then IKF was so bad, they started him in the playoffs, and then they did, and then they sat him down again. It's just ridiculous what they did to him. And then you had the feeling, like you said, bro, it's like you had this feeling that he was going to be the starting shortstop. To Anthony Volpe's credit, he took it. Yeah, he absolutely took it. They send him down, and now they're going to call him up to sit on the bench for two or three games and send him back down. This is how you ruin a player's development.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mental game. That's got to be mentally draining. It's got to be pushing him a bit. I mean, hopefully, you know, you'd hope that someone on the Yankees is capable of dealing with this kind of mental fortitude. But why even put him in the position in the first place?
It's not so much what I think about Peraza. It's so much it's more so what I think of this organization and the way that they handle these types of things.
That's another example of them not really having a definitive plan on what they want to do with their young prospects. Just line up the examples.
All right. So right now with Stanton out, the DH spot is open, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't Wash Donaldson DH? Why can't Gleyber Torres DH?
I don't know.
Honestly, you can. This might be a rhetorical question. You can answer it if you want to. What has Wash Donaldson earned on this team?
He hasn't earned anything, but what he brings to this team is a glove.
You're paying $25 million for that?
Is IKF really that far off from him?
Offensively at third base, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So is your best team right now, you install Peraza at second base and DJ LeMay is your third baseman, and then, you know, Wash Donaldson and Gleyber? Take your pick, whoever is hotter? Or you want to say it's Gleyber and Donaldson can get a start here and there at third, and you want to get, you know, you want to move some guys around? I don't think Donaldson's earned the right to just get his job back when you have better options. And the Yankees are going to send Peraza down because he has options. But this is nothing against Willie Calhoun. What the fuck is Willie Calhoun doing here? We need to keep Willie Calhoun. No. You afraid? I mean, seriously, we need to keep Willie Calhoun around because we're afraid if we DFA him, somebody's going to snatch him up. And I'm not being look. People think, oh, you can't. What do you do? You can't play baseball. Fine, I can't play baseball. I don't give a shit. I'm here to give my opinion. Willie Calhoun is a dime a dozen. You can find 50 more Willie Calhouns littered around Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm. In the scrapyard.
I mean, the obvious answer is just get rid of Aaron Hicks, but we know they're not going to do that.
Yeah. So the reason they're not giving up Aaron Hicks is the same reason they're not giving up on Donaldson's, because those guys are getting paid and they want to get their money's worth, or they want to be justified in spending all this money, and they just want to hopefully get that spark back in those guys.
Well, and I'll tell you this, Ryan, and that is how you show how truly serious you are about winning a World Series.
Exactly. That's why the Volpe stuff at the beginning of the year was awesome, because you felt like they were pushing toward that kind of narrative, that they're moving based on winning a championship.
Only
based
do
on tax right. or caps or whatever.
But they only do so much. They give you Volpe. They even give you Cabrera on opening day. Say he won the left fielder's job. You know, and then IKF is playing center field, and Hicks is still getting 2 or 3 days a week, and they're just going to install Donaldson right back into third base. And it's just like, you know, you can't get blood from a stone. And that's what I feel like the Yankees are trying to do all the time with some of these guys.
What did you call that when they would do that, when they did that with like Sanchez on opening day? You had a term for
it. It was theater.
Theater, yeah, theater. Yankee
theater.
That
was pure theater. I mean, I'll never forget that, bro. Like, the Yankees are like, yeah, you know, because they didn't want to bench Sanchez on opening day because they didn't want to deal with the questions about it. But the very next game, Higgy was back behind the plate with Gerrit Cole.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, it's frustrating because you love this team so much, and you really do. And we talked about this before we came on the show here. And it's like, you have to be able – yes, everything for the Yankees comes down to October, right? Did they win a World Series or not?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be able to take enjoyment out of 162 games, or else why are you watching it?
Yeah, you're just torturing yourself at that point.
If everything is about October – then don't. Why do you sit here and watch 162 regular season games if it's only about October? I'm not saying that I'm okay with the Yankees not winning the World Series, right? But like, you have to take enjoyment, out of watching.
Saying it's not the destination; it's the journey.
Right. You have to take enjoyment out of being a fan of this team over 162. Yeah. You know, that's why. Maybe I said this earlier in the show. I can't even remember what happened 40 minutes ago, but. You know, that's why you have to take enjoyment out of Anthony Volpe's first major league home run. You have to take enjoyment over watching Gerrit Cole throw a complete game shutout. Because if your only concern, if your reaction is like, well, they still can't beat the Astros, then what are you wasting your time for?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, when you see the way things are going and it's kind of a repeat of recent years, it is a bit frustrating. But end of the day, you know, my entire lifespan, they haven't had a losing record. So, you know, as much as there is to criticize this team, they play winning baseball for 6 months, and it's very enjoyable.
Is, I mean, but then that's what frustrates you, too, is that you know how much better this team could be if they just tweaked it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to go out there and trade for a big superstar. You can just trim the fat.
Trim that Hicksy fat. Okay, that wash. Elgato.
Why we're watching this team develop what the 2023 Yankees will be. We're watching them develop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even I know I said this earlier, like, you, what can you make out of April 17th? I can tell you what I can make out of April 17th. That Aaron Hicks is going to be a complete waste again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, he's not going to get the opportunity to get it, like, a bunch of consistent at-bats. This is what he's going to get, and this is not going to work out for him.
Stadium right now. Like, the fans are on him.
Oh, it's loud. I mean, but come on. See, that's where he needs to kind of shut everyone up and just take the accountability and say, yeah, they should be even louder. That's how bad I've been here.
That's all I want to. If he's going to talk, that's what I want to hear out of him.
I just want some accountability. Well, I don't know what my role is. Okay.
That's what frustrates me, that people that defend him. It's like, it's not because he's bad. It's because he's delusional and thinks that he doesn't think. And then he doesn't think that he's bad.
Delusional ignorance he's got going on.
That's a good one there. Delusional ignorance.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Tony in Brooklyn. Okay.
So, what do you expect out of Shohei Ohtani this week? 5 home runs in one game? Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least. Maybe one inning. 5 dingies. I mean, he'll hit one. He's going to hit one. He's a superstar. I'm looking forward to watching him. It'll be nice to see a series with Trout and Ohtani in the same lineup. Last time I watched a game with both of them was the World Baseball Classic finale. Where Ohtani threw like the nastiest slider I've ever seen, 87-mile-per-hour dot in the outside corner. But he's gonna be great. The Yankees take care of business, though. It's the Angels until you get
and you would think
pitchers
so, right?
In there. Yeah,
This is a stellar pitching matchup for Tuesday. It's Suarez with a 10.80 ERA against Clark Schmidt in his 8.44 ERA.
All right.
Brito is going to get the ball on Wednesday. All right.
Okay.
So hopefully he can bounce back. And then Nesta is going to get the ball on Thursday for the finale. Now, this is a weird game. This is a weird start time, right? So you figure 1 o'clock getaway day game, right?
Mm-hmm.
4:05
game. Well, they don't have a day off after this series, right? They just go, they stay on a home stretch.
Yes, the Yankees are they're still again? Home. Toronto will come in, but that's still Toronto. Weird. Like you would figure, like
yeah.
That's still a getaway day for LA. But it's 4 o'clock on a Thursday. That's kind of a little weird there. So everybody watching, mark
maybe
that down.
Maybe they're doing it based on like LA time, and they're like it's their getaway at one. It's like because they're probably going back.
You think
home.
They put that much thought into it?
I don't know, man. There's a lot of intricacies to making a good. Schedule, although it's all computerized now.
All computerized, huh?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know, Ryan. This team is, they're good, but are they great?
I don't know. And then you see, you know, teams like the Rays, what they're doing. And the Astros, sure, they're off to a slow start, but it's the Astros.
Honestly, I'm not surprised by it because we knew that Altuve was going to be out about 8 to 10 weeks with that that broken hand. And, you know, he's as important to his team as any player in baseball right now.
Sure. Yeah, he's a glue type guy. And then you got Bruce Bochy over in Texas. It looks like they're actually maybe onto something over there, but it's so early. You know, you can't really. But they've looked good this past week.
The A's have not. They're 3-13.
No. They are a joke of a franchise. They are getting outsold by minor league teams' attendance.
They're going to win 40 games this year.
They're what, 3-13? So that's, man, that's, they should, I mean, come on, man. Come on. 40 games.
All right, let's see. That's a 188 win percentage, right? 188 win percentage times 162. That's 30. You want to round up or round down?
But five or above, you give it a shove up.
Well, it's 0.45, so
all right,
it's
so, like yeah,
that's 31 wins.
Man,
you played at this current pace.
Well, did you see what their fans are planning to do? Like kind of like a reverse protest where they're gonna swarm, that they're gonna buy a shit ton of tickets for like a random Tuesday night game to show that it's not, we're not coming to these games because we really hate how this team is run. We want to root for this team, but we just can't because of how they conduct their business. So they're trying a whole thing, like a Tuesday game against the Rays to have a sellout crowd.
We bring up the A's only because we know how bad things could really be. Like we're not oblivious to what happens around Major League Baseball. But this is what fans of other teams don't understand. Being a Yankee fan, being a diehard Yankee fan, that you watch 162, you follow everything that happens in the off season to see the moves that are being made, not being made, is that, yeah, the team wins 95 games every year. The team goes to the postseason every year, but they just don't do the simplest things to make themselves better. And that's what frustrates you. And you know, this team is being run by a bunch of dopes.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the problem, bro. I was like, you know, Brian Cashman's ego gets in the way of everything because honest to God, if he goes into Hal's office and says, Wash Donaldson's got to go, Hal's not going to fight him on it.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. He's gone. He's the reason he's still here.
Brian's got to try to make this trade work.
I was wrong. Okay. That's it. I don't know why I thought I should pay Donaldson that much money, but I was wrong. That's all.
And then you watch things like what happened on Friday night, and you just know that Aaron Boone is just like, I really want to root for the guy, but it's just so hard.
I hear you. That's the case for a lot of these guys. You want to root for them, but it's just hard. It's hard. I don't know.
Oh, it's going to be a few days before the next stop on the SMD tour for Gerrit Cole. I think it would be against
BJ's?
The Blue Jays on what would that be? Saturday? It looks like, I think it would be Saturday. He would get the ball next.
Yeah, it seems that it should be Saturday. He's lined up for the Saturday game.
Oh, I heard that as much as the pitch clock is helping Gerrit Cole, it is hurting Alek Manoah.
Yeah, it's like the reverse effect for Manoah. Doesn't have enough time.
He doesn't have enough time to catch his breath there. So
he also looks like, I don't know, he looks like he's not in the greatest baseball shape. Like, it's, he never really was, but it looks even more so this year. I don't know though, man. He's got some.
There's been big pitchers. I mean, obviously, yeah, like right, CC Sabathia, but yeah, like big, I don't know. I always felt like,
how would Bartolo do in the pitch clock era? He was always a quick pitcher, man. Actually, he'd be probably fine. Surprisingly agile and very good stamina.
There's just some guys that can carry that body weight, and it doesn't affect them. But it seems like anything helps them. You know, I'm not body shaming anybody.
No,
but like,
we're not body shaming.
All right? It just seems like Alek Manoah is the type of guy that, you know, he might want to work on a few things here. I got to work on a few things too. So you know,
sure,
I'm coming from.
But we're not, you know, major league ball players here.
You're getting called out for
a lot of shit. He talks a lot of shit.
That's what the problem is. And he talks a lot of shit. Vlad Jr. talks a lot of shit.
We're talking some shit now. But
we're talking shit. That's what really bothered me, man. That's what really bothered me about Don Mattingly going to the fucking Blue Jays. I just can't stand them.
Yeah, they have quickly become my least favorite team in baseball.
So if you had to say, where's the four – if you had to pick four places where you wouldn't want Don Mattingly to go as a Yankee fan, the Mets?
Mm-hmm. Mets, obviously. Boston.
Boston. Toronto, Astros.
Toronto and Houston.
And Houston, exactly. Those are the four places.
Maybe, I mean, Toronto would be at the back end, but it's just like you could list off the entire division at that point, but Toronto.
But if he was in the – if he went to the Baltimore Orioles, it doesn't offend me. Like, I'm offended that's in fucking Canada right now.
Also, that's kind of like a reverse Ken Singleton move there. You know, we took Kenny from you, put him in our booth. You could take Mattingly and put him on the bench.
True. This is true. Okay. So the Yankees are going to welcome in the Anaheim Angels of Anaheim. Is that what they're called now?
Yeah, something like Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I don't know if they're even called that anymore. I did hear, though, that they're going to be filming the new Angels in the outfield during the game. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's coming up. Just kidding. Great movie, though.
So the Yankees are the only team in Major League Baseball yet to lose a series. They've split with Minnesota, although, like we chronicled here, they definitely should have won that series. You just want to see the Yankees continue to play good, winning baseball. They should be able to win at least two of these games here. Otani's not pitching. I know the Angels have a pretty solid pitcher going on Thursday, but we have Nestor going. So, and the Yankees are better than the Angels. I saw somebody tweet this at the beginning of the season, and it got some run on Twitter that the Angels have a better roster than the Yankees. I don't know what this guy's smoking.
Come on.
I mean, Thursday is 4:20, so, we might have been hitting it a little early there. This is a series the Yankees. You're closer to thinking the Yankees could sweep this series than anything right now. I mean, you Absolutely. Take two out of three. This is a series that you should be able to put at least two games in your pocket easily. Toronto comes to town. You know you're going to have Gerrit Cole in one of those games. It's another series that you should probably win. We wanted the Yankees to play 500 ball to get through these injuries. And now the injuries have piled up even more. They're playing above 500 baseball. So they just got to continue to win. I heard today that it could be a week to 10 days before Harrison Bader's back with the big club. You'll like to see that because then Judge doesn't have to play center. You can go with an outfield of left to right. You go Cabrera, Bader, and Judge. So that's a better you're better right there, and it's just going to be this infield logjam that we've talked about ad nauseum throughout the entire offseason, man. It's like Wash Donaldson's going to come back. They're going to send Peraza down, but that's still not that's still not the best Yankees. That's not the best version of the 2023 Yankees, in my opinion. Man. And if Gleyber Torres, honestly, you know, I'll say this to end the show here. If Gleyber Torres is going to continue to struggle, even as hot as he was at the beginning of the year, he's not a guy that should be guaranteed anything either.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you have that influx in the infield where you have that extra guy, if that's going to be the case, then really it's up for grabs, that entire infield.
If you're not, you know, as long as, you know, DJ LeMahieu was the offense yesterday. So as long as he's healthy, man, yeah. he's been really good this year. He's another, we always say DJ LeMahieu is that piece. He's that guy that changes everything for the Yankees.
Everything.
So, and he can play every place on the infield except for shortstop. So if there's guys that are not going to carry their weight, you know, obviously you want to leave Rizzo alone. You want to leave Volpe alone for now, you know.
Right.
Wash Donaldson and Gleyber Torres are not going to contribute. You know, DJ can take one of those spots easily. And you know, I'm all about winning, bro. I'm not about people's feelings right now.
That's,
you know,
how it should be. It's a game. That you wanted, the ultimate goal is to beat everybody else and be the last team standing.
We want to be here at NYY News TV. We want to be the last, and we want to be the last channel standing. Okay. We'll take on everybody in a last man standing match, Hell in a Cell. Okay. Cage match, barbed wire, whatever it is, bro. Okay. TLC
hunt
match.
For Red October.
Okay. We come off the top rope with a Macho Man Randy Savage elbow. Psh, whatever we got to do to win around here, okay?
That's right.
Oh, Gerrit Cole, baby, the SMD Tour. I'm stamping it. It's back. We're back on with the SMD Tour, okay? So we'll likely see Cole on Saturday until it's made official, but he's definitely going to pitch one of these weekend games against Toronto. We want to thank everybody in the chat, okay? If you're still there, like this video, subscribe to NYY News TV. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Okay, we want to thank everybody for their continued support of NYYST and NYY News TV. Thank you for listening and watching episode 328. SGR, you have the final say today.
Go Yanks. And poof!
Before it hits the front page.